That's good. You'll find the text in Acts chapter number 9. And I appreciate that. Acts chapter number 9. It's a great blessing. Thank you so much. Page number 1160 in the Scofield Bible. Let's turn there quickly. Acts chapter number 9. What a great blessing it is to be here. I appreciate these good songs. And any song about the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice at Calvary, ought to move us. Praise God. The Bible said the love of Christ constraineth us. And what greater love hath man than this? And he laid down his life for his friend. No greater love. When we were yet without strength in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. And I'm glad he died for me. The Bible said all we like sheep had gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. For he was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. I'm glad it came that way. And I'm glad it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. I got in that way, praise God. And if you'll get saved, you'll go by the blood, thank God. Let's sing it together. What can wash away my sin? Sing now, nothing. Do your best. And what? Sang nothing
but the blood of
Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Praise his name. Acts chapter 9 records a great conversion. And by way of introduction, let me say that any time that a sinner gets saved, it's a great conversion. As a child, I know that the men of God I sat under didn't mean to mislead me. But oftentimes they would speak of those who were saved and maybe saved from a life of sin, a wicked life, and they would almost glamorize that and talk about what a great thing it was that this individual had gotten saved out of a lifestyle of disobedience and alcoholism and drug abuse or whatever his vices might have been. But I want to tell you that everybody that gets saved gets wondrously, gloriously saved. If you were 7 years old when you got saved, that was a glorious conversion. In fact, much more glorious than that one who had to live in sin 18, 19 years, 20 years of his life. But in this account of Paul the Apostle's conversion, you'll find it in chapter number 9, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I want to stop and say in verse 2, I'm of that way. And I'm unapologetic about it. I'm glad to be of the way of Jesus Christ, praise God. I like it. In verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Our Heavenly Father, I think about this hour and the importance of this hour, not only of the lives that can be affected now, but the future that lies in the hands and the acts of obedience of these young people. And I'm sobered by this reality tonight. Lord, I pray you'd touch me, and my voice is weak. I ask you to touch me and overcome that and help me to communicate. Lord, I'd rather not preach than to waste this congregation's time. We've already felt your presence, tangible presence, as the songs have been sung, testimonies have been shared. The great message that's been preached about commitment, how we've been challenged, Lord. And God, I pray that we'd not only be hearers, but we'd apply the truth and the message that has been delivered to us tonight. I pray it wouldn't be just taken for granted, but a message of God, from God for this hour. Lord, I pray you'd equip us to do the work of the ministry in these dark last days. Lord, we thank you for the two that were saved last night. And Lord Jesus, we'll never take for granted what you've done. But we would ask that there are those that remain lost, that I pray this be the last night that they're lost, that they'd come to know you as their Savior this very evening. And Lord, our bodies are tired, our minds are weary. These young people have been busy all day long, but I pray for the next few minutes you'd arrest the attention of every listener. And Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd have your will performed, and I pray that no one in this room would hinder you. I pray we would do nothing to grieve you or to quench you, but I pray we'd be open to your direction in our lives. Give me words to say and clarity of thought. And for the results that we see, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the glory, because you deserve all the honor and all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I guess one of the most rehearsed testimonies of any character of Scripture was this story that took place in Acts chapter number 9. For the character Paul the Apostle, the subject of this conversion, he was one who often alluded to the good day on the road to Damascus. Every time you study the life of Paul in the book of Acts, every time Paul got in trouble, he just said, let me tell y'all about the time I got saved. And I would like to say, though it has nothing to do with this message, that's a good thing to remember, praise God. I don't care how bad it gets or how difficult times may come. If you're saved, look up in here, you're only going to live as long as God lives. That's good news, friend. When all your friends turn their back on you, you don't have to go to hell. That's great news. And he faced jail. He faced to be beheaded. He faced stonings. But he never neglected to share the day that he got saved. That's a good thing. Now look at this story, and some of the great questions of the Bible are proposed, and yet in this 21st century, I believe they still echo down the corridors of time. As in the Philippian jailer's case, he made a great statement and a question that he asked when he told Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want to say, if you're lost and undone, young man, if you're lost and undone, young girl, hey, the best question you could ever ask is, what must I do to be saved? And I'm glad, praise God, that this Bible has authority to answer that question. And I'm glad they didn't have to go down to some headquarters, old Paul and Silas, in the midnight hour and get some kind of permission to give the special code. They said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that very night, that jailer had his question answered. I want to say, if you've been hanging around these days and you're lost, hey, Jesus is still in the saving business tonight. What must I do to be saved? That's a good question. But after conversion, I believe one of the greatest questions we can ask is the question proposed by Paul the Apostle in verse number 6. When God revealed himself to him, by the way, he is Lord. I know there's a lot of controversy today just over that word Lord. But the Bible said God hath made him both to be Lord and Christ. I want y'all to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you ever recognize his lordship or not, he's still on the throne. On his head, Revelation 19 said there'll be many crowns. And on his thigh will be written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his vesture will be dipped down in blood. And out of his mouth will go a sharp-edged, two-edged sword. And the Bible said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Hath given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether you ever surrender to his lordship does not remove the fact that he's Lord. And he'll jerk the rug out from under you and prove it on occasion, good neighbor. He's still God. He's still Lord. I want to thank God that he recognized him as Lord. And he proposed a great question. Brother Tharpe said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe that question has gone unanswered by many because it was a misunderstood answer. The reason we're not seeing more fulfillment of God's will in our lives is because we've been taught the wrong. We've been misled maybe by the wrong answer. You go to the right source and you'll get the right answer. You go to the wrong source, good neighbor, you get the wrong answer. The world doesn't have the answer to the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Your backslidden friends down at that Southern Baptist church, look up in here, with their so-called Christian rock concert. You can't no more have Christian rock than you can have Christian prostitution, bless God. There's no such a thing as it. And they're not going to give you the right answer. You'll be misled if you go to the world for the answer, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Now, you'll get the wrong answer. You'll be misled. Or you'll be misinformed. Many of our young people today are attempting. I mean, I really believe there's a crowd of young people who've been saved by the grace of God. And they've experienced and tasted salvation. But as far as directions and orders, we've got such timid leadership today. Such apologetic leadership. No absolute truth. Everything's brought to our young people in situational ethics, and maybe it's right for you, and it may be right, and it may be wrong. Let me say that if it ever was right, it's still right. And if it ever was wrong, it's still wrong. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I'm glad when you have a Bible question, that praise God, there's always a Bible answer. Amen. You don't have to go outside the lids of God's eternal word to find the answer to this question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We're going to use our Bibles. How many got your Bibles tonight? Hold them up. I got a good King James Bible. Hold it up. If you don't, look on to somebody that does and throw the one you got on the floor. Praise God. I want you to notice in our text, Acts chapter number 9, I believe that there's a step-by-step prescription on what the Lord would have us to do. Notice verse number 6, our text. The Bible said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And immediately, no hesitation, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I want you to jot it down. First of all, young people, I believe the Lord would have us to be involved. If we could have an audible conversation, which we don't need because we've got a closed canon. We've got a finished revelation. But if we could call God down, I believe he'd just say and point back to this text. He'd say, you want to know what to do, young people? Arise and go. Arise and go. Be involved. We got a lot of spectators in our youth department. We've got a lot of young people who are very critical. They're backseat drivers. They're armchair quarterbacks. And they can tell you how it ought to be done. But they ain't doing a blessed fired thing. Amen, friend. I mean, they're not involved. They're not trying to do. They're just criticizing those who are doing. Arise and go. Be involved. I believe with all my heart, he said, arise and go. And he said, go down to the city and you go find a place called Straight Street. That's where Ananias was. He was a soul winner to Straight Street, Independent, Fundamental, Premillennial, Missionary, King James only, slobber slinging, sweat wiping, high blood pressure, bug eyed, bless God, biscuit eating, gravy sopping, Baptist church, bless God. You say what you want to, but all of this parachurch organization, look up in here, is bleeding the effectiveness of the New Testament church. Young people are involved in everything but church. He said, arise and go down to Straight Street. I believe God would say, be involved in the right place. I'm going to tell you, young people, the nucleus of every activity that you're involved in ought to be the local New Testament church. There's no greater place for you than, hey, the Boys and Girls Club, look up in here, can't hold a candle to the New Testament church. Girl Scouts and Cub Scouts, God help. What you need is an old-fashioned Baptist church, bless God. You don't need a worship center. You don't need a, hey, look up in here, a family world outreach. Look up here. You don't need one of these, look up, bless God, one of these, what they call a center, worship center, family world outreach, hey, fellowship. What you need is a local church, bless God. If they don't call it a church, find somewhere where they do, bless God. You're at the wrong place if when they such and such a ministries makes me want to vomit. He didn't say upon this rock I'll start my ministry. He didn't say upon this rock I'll start my Christian school. He didn't say upon this rock I'll start my Bible college. He didn't say upon this rock I'll start my mission board. He said upon this rock I'll start my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, bless God. Y'all liking this? You better act like you like this. It's the church that pays you, bless God. Hey, everything I know about the Bible, I learned in church. I met my wife in church. I got saved in church. I got baptized in church. I got married in church. Hey, I got called to preach in church, bless God. Amen for the church. We got involved. We spend more time than softball leagues. It's a disgrace for any teenager here to spend more time on a football practice field than he does in the house of God. And ain't nobody loves football more than I love it. We got these Christian schools now, Brother Treber. They spend, all they talk about is we won the state championship. There ain't but four or five Christian schools in the whole league. Nobody in over 6 foot tall. You ain't won nothing till you beat a public school team. Look up at him, bless God. Everybody all right? You better get all right. And they'll spend hours on baseball fields and soccer fields. Soccer, God help, that's communist. Bunch of soccer. That's the next step to compromise, soccer. Little boys in short britches running around out there. Everybody okay? Hey, that's what they play in communist countries, bless God. Football is American, bless God. Say amen right there or get out of here. Hallelujah. It's a disgrace when our Christian educators spend more emphasis on an athletic event. We're lying to ourselves, talking about going to turn the world upside down. And they go soul winning, team soul winning, maybe 1 hour a week. Maybe 1 hour a week. Got 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 52 weeks in a year. If they go 1 hour, that's 52 hours, and you know good and well they're not knocking on doors a solid hour. Don't bow your head because I'm not ready to pray yet. And then they have these public school revivals to try to soothe their conscience. Everybody's getting real quiet. Guess what time it is? Preaching time, bless God. What about the church? Boy, we invest dollars in all kind of places. Ball fields. Let's get real quiet. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, first thing I want you to do is go down yonder to Straight Street Baptist Church, find you a bench, and be faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every night of the revival. Every night of the revival. Got these institutions now, they let them kids work on Wednesday nights and Sunday. I don't make them go to church. God help. What are we rearing? Church. You young people ain't got a bit of business working on Wednesday night. You ain't got nary business working on a Sunday. If this local church is having a meeting on Sunday night, you ought to break both legs and crawl over busted glass to get to church. Amen right there. Church. Be involved in a place. There's no substitute for this place. Them youngers don't need counseling. They don't need I just got attention disorder, this deficit. They don't need counseling. You know what they need? They need the devil preached out of them. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, do y'all have awanas? I said, no, because I want to preach on Sunday morning. I want to preach on Sunday night. And I want to preach on Wednesday night. Amen. I might not get past this point, but look up. I don't know all about the Bible, but the parts I know real good. And I know that this book is a local church book. Church. Go to Straight Street. Be involved in a place. The Bible goes on to say, when you get there, verse 13, Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man who's coming. How much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, talking to Ananias, that soul winner, he said, you go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Not only should we be involved in a place, but according to verse number 14, we ought to be involved in a purpose. The reason some of you are so unhappy and so miserable, you don't even know what you're here for. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Our purpose is reproduction. We're supposed to be winning this world. We ought to be involved in a purpose to bear the name of the Lord. You know, they were first called Christians at Antioch. They so closely imitated the actions of our Savior that they gave them a nickname. They said, oh, those are Christians. They act like Jesus acts. You know what we need? We need to be bearing his name. Some blaspheme his name, but we bless his name. Some detest his name, we declare his name. There is a name I love to hear. There's just something about Jesus. I mean, just to hear his name whispered by the graveside of the bereaved, it brings a great comfort. Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the one of Nazareth. That was buried but rose again on the third day. There's a whole lot of Jesus's around here, but they ain't one Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm talking about that one. Hey, one fellow was asked, young boy got saved. He was excited, and a skeptic came to him and said, well, said, you believe in Jesus, huh? He said, oh, yes, sir. He saved my soul. They said, which Jesus? He said, there's a Jesus down here. He's a little Mexican boy. He said, which Jesus do you believe in? And the young boy said, I believe in the one that got up on the third day. That kind of clarifies which one we're talking about. We have a purpose, friend. I'm talking about it's a heavy weight. It's a responsibility to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, he's going to bear my name. He's going to tear my name to those Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Not only do we see that we ought to, and we ought to work at it, we ought to be involved in a place. We ought to be involved with a purpose. But young people, we ought to be involved with the people. We ought to be involved. Somebody told me the other day, I believe it was Dalton Robertson, a friend of mine down in Florida. He said, Brother Tony, he said, you know, the ministry would be all right if it wasn't for the people. I mean, that's what it's all about. For this cause came I in the world, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. This is a faithful saying, head worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And old Brother Sammy Allen said, if he could save that chief, he'll have no trouble with the Indians, bless God. We ought to be caring. People. It's all about people. Hey, I'm nervous around some preachers today. They got this ego. You know, they're too good to talk to people. Young man, if God ever decides to use you, don't you get too big for God. People. When Jesus, Matthew 9:36, he went about the cities and villages and he was moved with compassion upon them because they were scattered abroad and fainted as a sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion on them. Then he said to his disciples, truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:38, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers into his harvest. It's all about the harvest. It's all about people. People are on their way to hell. Your neighbors that you've never one time witnessed to, that you've never invited to church, they're on their way to hell. Your classmate, this locker's next to you, that you never one time taken the opportunity to share with them the gospel. Look at one day they're going to wake up in heaven or hell. There's an old song we sang out of the Red Book, You Never Mentioned Him to Me. It ain't no shout on that song, but there's a whole lot of tear on that song. When in a better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls shall be if any lost one there shall cry in deep despair. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me nor helped me the light to see. You met me day by day and you knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. It's going to be a sad day at the great white throne judgment. That's why that chapter concludes with, and God shall wipe away all tears. Because when you see your loved ones there, well, Brother Tony, I was going to, but I don't want to offend them. Now let's be honest, where are you going to send them to hell number two? They're already going to hell. Well, I know I got friends, but I don't want to hinder our friendship. Hey, what about eternity, ma'am? Be involved in people. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe you'd say be involved. That I may know him. Paul was a man of much knowledge. He talks about, I know whom I have believed in and persuaded. He wanted to know that I may know him was one of his statements in great search for the plan of God of his life. He said, we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, I know a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, but I know something about heaven. I was there. A lot of knowledge that Paul had, but it all started with this first question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God wanted to know he ought to be involved. Secondly, and I think you'll see it right here in the text, not only to be involved, but to be indwelt. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and putting his hands on him, at Saul, said, Brother Saul. By the way, that proves right there you ain't got to get baptized to be saved. That baptism follows conversion. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. I believe with all my heart the second phase of this question would be not only to be involved but to be indwelt. Now don't get so hyper studious and picky on me. I realize that when you get saved there's one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I got saved, I got baptized in the body by the Holy Ghost. And I realize when you say baptized, that's a one-time thing. But there's one baptism but many fillings. You stay with me. To be indwelt, to be controlled, to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is upon you and you shall be well. I'm going to talk about the subject now. Most of these Christian schools, most of these Bible, they don't know much about that Holy Ghost. When I say Holy Ghost in most settings like this, people get real nervous. Most preachers get nervous. They might near get scared because they've got it so that they're so scared of something that they don't know much about that they're critical of anybody who has any kind of knowledge of it. I'll say Holy Ghost to most Baptist Bible college. They go to looking at the ground like they've lost something. Did he say Holy Ghost? Or did he say Holy Spirit? Well, it's a synonym. Holy Ghost. I like to say Holy Ghost. I just like to see the reaction of Bob Jones graduate. I'd say, Holy Ghost. Watch this. He said, what would they have me do? He said, I want you to be involved, but I want you to be indwelt. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to see something right here. When he was indwelt, first of all, with a person. The dearest friend I've ever had has been the paraclete, that one that walks along beside. He convicted me when I was lost. I just want to thank God for old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. You don't have to be under it long as I was. I was under conviction, Tennille. I was under conviction for 7 years before I got saved, Tennille. I know you're listening. I was under conviction for 7 years. Hey! I was under conviction for 7 years. I was the most miserable person in the whole world. Every Sunday school, our Sunday school teachers would say, now boys and girls, I want you to bow your heads. How many of you boys and girls in here know that if you died, you'd go to heaven? I'd lie every time, raise my hand. And them lying old-fashioned preachers, they lie, Brother Borf. We go sing one more verse if nobody responds. And sometimes they'd tell the truth because they'd sing one more verse of Just As I Am. And then they'd go to that song, Is Our Heart Right With God? That's the longest invitation hymn there is in the book. I mean, it's long. It's to have thine affections been nailed to the cross. Is thy heart right with God? That's just the top line. Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost. Is thy heart right with God? I didn't get to the chorus. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. That was verse 1. And they never got in a hurry on that. And that thing's got 5 verses to it. I sat back under such conviction, miserable. I knew the Holy Ghost before he ever indwelt me. I done met him. Before I ever got saved, I was brought up in an old-fashioned church. People testifying, give God the glory. They didn't have to have two weeks' notice about praising God. Everybody okay? Them sisters would get full, get to shouting and praising God. I wasn't even saved, but Brother Mark, I knew that somebody bigger than us had come into that building. I knew there's something way much bigger than me had done come in there. I wasn't even saved. I was on my way to hell. Hey, I was on a slick road to hell, but I knowed something bigger than me just showed up. I loomed under conviction. Man, I'd leave the building. They'd get to sing. I'd act like I had to go to the bathroom. I'd tell them, Mom, I got to go to the bathroom. What I'd do, I just wanted to get out from under that conviction. That Holy Ghost conviction. I want, just like some of these people, I'd get miserable during them invitations too. When we sang another verse and sang another verse. And I mean, the heart was just... I said, Mom, I gotta go. And I'd go, and I wouldn't even stop at the bathroom. I went straight through the back, and I'd go right through the foyer back to the two big old oak trees at Forest Hills where them deacons was out there smoking. Yeah. If I could just get some of them good Winstons in me, I'd run up there and just get that secondhand smoke, man. It's just like relaxing. Give me some, yes, menthol cools. It'd break my conviction. I figured if it'd been breaking theirs all this time, it might work on me for years, man. But I remember one night I was sitting by my mama and I got under conviction so bad and I was showing up on me. I was white and just real fidgety. Couldn't hardly stand still. That big old knot in my throat, big as a Macintosh apple. Sitting there, look up in here. I was trembling all over. And I said, Mama, I got to go to the bathroom. And she said, son, it ain't your kidneys what you got a problem with. She said, it's your heart's what you got a problem with. If there's no conviction, there's no conversion. Before he ever got saved, he said, Lord. He recognized who he was before he ever got saved, sir. Hey, we're still in the King James. What I mainly stay with, look up in here, is the King James. Before he ever got saved, he said, Lord. He knowed who he had met on that road. Bless God. Hey, man, help me, sir, up here. Could I get an amen? Thank you very much. Be indwelt with a person. I'm going to tell you, young people, when your friends are gone, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's going to come a time. If you live long enough, Jesus don't come back. Look up in here. There's going to be a time when you're going to need this blessed friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He's a blessed friend. He's the one that walks along beside. It's not some mystical something that you cannot experience. And by the way, don't tell me something big as God, this person move in. I may never make it past this point, Brother Treble. Bill Kip, I'm going to run this prayer. I'm nervous about this crowd been saved for years and didn't know it and all that. I can't get that. Talking about that you've been indwelt by the Holy Ghost. You've been, and you didn't know that he moved in. Now look up in here, then you didn't get saved the same way I got saved. The night I got saved, nobody had to tell me I was lost. I knew I was lost. They didn't have to convince me that I was lost. Look, I mean, I'm talking about when I was on, I know when I come to that altar, nobody said, now you know you're lost, don't you? I'm thinking, like, dude, why you think I came down here? I knew I was lost just like you knew you was lost the night you got saved. In fact, the night I got saved, I just might as well tell my testimony. I thought I was going to smother that night. If I didn't get to that altar, I really thought this would be my last chance. And I'm talking about, in my mind, I thought if I didn't make it to the altar that night, it wouldn't be no more chances for me. The night I got saved. I'm talking about conviction. I knew I was lost. And the night I got saved, I knew something had happened to me on the inside. And don't tell me, young people, I don't care what these people want to try to minimize emotion and throw a wet blanket on emotion. I know we're made in the image of the devil, aren't we? God told the Son, said, let us make man in our image. And guess how he made us? He made us emotional. Now, you don't have to act like I act, but if God's on the inside, he'll show up on the outside every once in a while. This bunch of dead, dry-eyed religion, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for this dry-eyed, dry-eyed, dead, formal, ritualistic, formalistic form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Apologize for tears. I was with a preacher not long ago. We was in a meeting, sitting on. I was waiting to preach, and preacher, if I said his name, everybody would know him. I mean, everybody would know him. And the choir got one of them choirs over in the mountains, and they got to singing, they got full, got happy, and got to praising God. You know, the helper showed up, and you know what I'm talking about. And his words. He started weeping, and this is what he said, Brother Johnny. He said, you'll just have to excuse me. I'm overcome with emotion. I said, no, help yourself, man. I said, you're getting happy. That's good. You know what Bob Jones Sr. said? Bob Jones Sr., not Junior, and not the third with that makeup on him, little plays and things, theatrical plays and all that Romeo and Juliet. Bob Jones Sr., you know what he said? This is what Bob Jones Sr. said. I'm talking foreign language to the y'all, but if you want it, it'll show up in your life. If you're hungry for it, it'll come to you. He said, every Christian ought to get in the glory at least once before he leaves this walk of life. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, then don't knock it till you've tried it. Don't you start playing. I'll be careful what I'd say about somebody praising God and getting full. I tell you what I'd do, young people. I'd bite my tongue off and spit it on that altar before I'd make fun of somebody praising God. We've let these charismatics, these tongue talkers, steal all our joy. And long before these Pentecostals ever come on the scene, old time Baptist people was shouting and praising God. It started pretty early on John the Baptist. 6 months old in his mother's womb when he heard about Jesus, praise God. Hey, when he heard about Jesus, he leaped in his mother's womb. He jumped up in his mother's womb. He got excited, bless God. And what they would have said at Pensacola is, you can't act like that here. You get demerits for acting like that here. I wouldn't send a dog to a Bible college that you couldn't praise God in. If I had a poodle dog I loved, I wouldn't send a dog to a Bible college that you couldn't praise God. I wouldn't send a dog to a Bible college that you couldn't praise God in. I would not send a dog I loved to a Bible college that you couldn't praise God in. Hey, man. The Bible's not going to tell me let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and then you try to stifle everything. Amen, right there. Preaching time. I was preaching it before I come in here, and I'll be preaching it when I leave out of here. They pick and choose what they want. They got that Burger King religion. Have it your way. What they need is that Wendy's religion, old-fashioned, hot and juicy, bless God. Well, I just don't praise the Lord the way you do. Then tell me how you do it. You show me how you do it. Show me how you do it then. Bunch of frigid, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are cold and a bunch is frozen. That's what they told me, Brother Mark, when I first got called. The Lord started opening doors for me. Had 2 great leaders in our movement right after my daddy died came to me. Said, now, Brother Hudson, we've noticed you and we've been watching this. Said, you've got great structure and content. I said, ah, what's that mean? They said, and we could probably use you in some of our conferences if you would just tone it down a little. See, I've done seen what it, I ain't been around all my life. Hey, I ain't been around all the time, but I've been around for about 40 something years. I've seen what that toning down's done. I've watched enough of them tone down so they sit up like hard as concrete. No joy. No joy. Young people jumping, just jumping the fence to get out from it. Hey, man, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost being dwelt with a person, being dwelt with a power. You know what's going to help you resist the devil? The Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to have to tap into some power, friend. That flesh is weak, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. The only thing we got good is that new man living on the inside. That new man on the inside, it's the only thing good about what you're looking at. In this flesh dwelleth, have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said, I sold under sin. I got a problem with the flesh, but he said, that new man. Oh, 1 John chapter 3 said, man, that new man can't even sin. The new man can't. That flesh can, but that new man can't. If you ever going to do anything right, it'll be the Holy Ghost doing what's right. Power. Be involved, but be indwelt. Be indwelt with a person. Be indwelt with a power. Notice it's being dwelt with a perception. He said, and immediately there fell from his eyes scales, as it was scales. I'm going to tell you right now what the Lord wants us to do. He wants to be indwelt with a perception. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to think like God thinks. We ought to see like God sees. Some of y'all need to start looking at it. It's not a burden to serve God. It's a blessing to serve God. It ain't, look up in here, I got to go to church. No, I get to go to church. I gotta go soul winning. No, I get to go soul winning. Hey, I don't got to, I get to. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. And my subject is the Holy Ghost. Indwelt. 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 How you see it. Spirit-filled people see it different than others. I have to tithe. I get to tithe. I have to sing. Nope. I get to sing. How you see it. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, look up in here, ma'am. Hey, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll start liking all this stuff. And some of y'all right now, I've done watched you. I just don't like the way he preaches. It's not the way I'm preaching, it's Father, it's what I'm preaching that's got you so upset. That's what's got you so kinked right now. It's what I'm preaching. Because you ain't got a lick of Bible for what you, all verse you got against me, let all things be done decently. That's all you got. And I believe that more than you do. Because if the Holy Ghost told me to jump over that little old baby grab right now and land in them steps, I'd do it and it would be decent and in order. My problem is I'll mind him and you won't. You say, I wouldn't call all them names like you do. Maybe that's why God called me to preach, because he knew I would call some names and he knows some people won't call some. I'm tired of them camouflaging and infiltrating our magazines and promoting dead religion, and on a magazine says for old time religion. I'm sick of standing by that stuff. Hey, you looking at somebody for old time religion. Hey, I'm teetotally old timer. I'm so old, look up in here. I'm full blown old time. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Amen. Be involved. What would they have me to do? Young people, be involved. Everybody say, be involved. Be involved. Be indwelt. The Bible said in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Be involved, Paul. What would that have me to do? Be indwelt, Paul. What would that have me to do? Be intense, Paul. Be straightway. You know what makes me, you know, I don't believe these, some of these boys is no more called to preach. They ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet. Some of these boys, now you're talking about a volunteer, and I don't understand all of it. And I agree with you. You, if God don't want you, he'll kick you out. I've seen him do it. I've done seen him do it. I know what he'll do. If you ain't called, it, well, you won't last long. I tell you who's called, them it lasts a while. I tell you how to find out. You're saying, I don't know if I'm called, I'm going to volunteer. Let's just see how long you last, see how called you are. Everybody all right? And straightway. Some of these boys are supposed to be called to preach. And you got to give them 3 months to even give a testimony. Be instant in season, out of season. Be always ready to give an answer for the hope. But some of these boys, you know, you call. If I was to call on some of these boys, they would. Hey, they wouldn't even know a verse to back up their blood atonement. Couldn't preach yourself out of a wet paper sack. I'm going to tell you what you better do if you're going to be a preacher. You're going to get out of yourself. As long as you're in a little comfort zone, you being cool, you're about as powerless. You ain't got enough power to blow the fuzz off a peanut. When the world in its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save him that would believe. Amen. Had a fellow tell me I was preaching in somewhere up in Ohio the other day, and I said something about these dead schools. And he said, well, your problem is what you need is a little class. He said, you need a little, what did he say, word for class, like you needed some kind of a gloss on you or a shine. You know what I told him? I said, good leather don't take a lot of polish. Write that down in the front of your book. Hey, man, right there, bless God. Y'all listed? Be intense, straightway. Straightway. You boys don't have to. Look up here. If you think you got to come to North Valley Baptist Church, and if you think you have to come to Golden State Baptist College to be a preacher, look up in here. Then you don't understand what this man's trying to do. You're supposed to be one before you get here. They don't make preachers here. God makes preachers. They help preachers. You better be called. You better be having some want to about you before you get here. I'd rather be identified as a zealot, look up in here, as somebody ashamed of Christ. I'd rather be accused of saying too much as saying nothing at all. I'm honest about that. Amen. Straightway. You know what he was, ma'am? He was intense. Be intense. Straightway. He was intense in his message. And he preached to them Jesus Christ. It's right there in the text. Straightway, sir, he took the text on Jesus Christ. And I want to say the best text, young preacher, you can ever take is Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen, and coming again. Oh, Spurgeon told his young preacher boys, said the best thing for a young preacher to do is announce his text and get to Calvary as quick as he can get to it. Straightway, he preached that Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God, verse 20. Straightway, he was intense in his message. Straightway, he was intense in his methods he preached. Long before Tim LaHaye come along and Bill Gothard seminars came along, long before all this philosophy came along, long before all these big old words about music came along, look up in here, old time preaching was getting the job done. Straightway, he preached. Let me make sure it says that. Yeah, it's verse 20. He didn't even go to Hiles Anderson. He didn't, hey, straightway. What that straightway means in the original is like right now. It means, hey, immediately. It's in the King James. I tell you what helps some of these boys been called to preach. Call on them to preach. Give them about 5 minutes. Say, take five. I tell you what it'll do. It'll show who's called and who ain't. I guarantee you. Hey, if it's called, they'll jump out of that choir loft. They'll jump out of that balcony. They'll jump up out of that balcony to preach if they call. They won't have to say, well, you didn't give me enough notice. You ought to be intense about what you're doing. We're only in the last days. Hey, it's the midnight hour. The sun is setting on the age of grace. This is the Laodicean time. I don't know how y'all believe it. I'm a dispensation. But, I mean, it's getting dark out here, friend. She's closing down. Hey, it's pretty dark outside last time I checked. Evil men and seducers are whacking worse and worse. It ain't getting no better, Brother Zachary. Getting a whole lot worse. Perilous times, know this also. Perilous times shall come. Perilous times have come. We're living in perilous times. If you're going to do anything for God, young man, hey, you better start now. Straightway in his ministry. Personally, it's a ministry. Collectively, it's a church. Everybody's got a ministry. I'm burdened. I'm bothered. I'm what you say annoyed. What you'd say, would you say righteously indignated or madder than a junkyard dog, sir? At these boys that'll come to these Bible colleges and won't even work a bus route. Come on. And the hands soft as their mammies. I ain't got a job. Little prima donnas. Mama called and Papa sent. Come over here, won't even work a bus route. And let me say something, Middle Tennessee Baptist Church teenagers. Hey, y'all talk about how much you love Jesus. There's a lot of routes need help. Don't bow your head because I'm not ready to pray yet. Won't even work a bus. Hey, I'm going to tell you what you do. You get straightway. I'm going to tell you what you do. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. You do what God wants you to do. You won't wait 6 months. You won't even wait till you leave this conference. You'll try to find somebody to pass out a tract to over at the motel room. Straightway. What wilt thou have me to do? Be intense. What wilt thou have me to do? What does God want to be involved? Be indwelt? Be intense. I'm through. Watch this. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Young people, I'm almost through. Work at listening. You've been good listeners. Watch this. Be involved. What would they have me to do? Be indwelt. What would they have me to do? Be intense. But our text suggests, verse number 22, he said, be increased. I don't know what level of Christianity you are, but there is no high plane. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Paul said, not that I've apprehended after writing over half the New Testament. Missionary, not that that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. I want to do more today than I did yesterday. Now, young person, contrary to what you think, you have not arrived. You haven't reached the pinnacle of your service. You're just getting started good. He increased. I think about it. He increased in opportunity. The longer you live, the more you ought to be doing for God. It ought not be a decrease in your, he must increase, but I must decrease. The work of God ought to increase. He ought to get more of you. There's a battle in teen years with time and balance and trying to figure out how to rightly divide. How am I going to do this and be a friend and be a student and be a church? And how am I going to work it all out? But there ought to come a time, the more you grow with God, He ought to get more than less. More an opportunity. If you study the life of Saul of Tarsus, man, the doors begin to open up for him big time. And if you'll be involved and you'll be indwelt and you'll be intense, you'll be amazing how much you'll be increased. Boy, I'd like to preach in a meeting like this one day. Get crazy. You know why Mark, this brother Mark's preaching here? Because like, man, he's crazy. I thought he looked like the Spinners the other night during the song service. I'll be working my way back to you, babe, with a burning love inside. I'll be working my way back to you, babe, with a happiness it died. I'll let it slip away, today and every day. I mean, he's getting down. I was watching that. You laughing, but look who's preaching here. You're too cool. Be increased in your opportunities. Be increased in your opposition. You'll find out you start doing something, everybody don't like it. You'd think, honestly, y'all know McGill's, all I'm trying to do is help people. I get criticized for not doing and for doing. I preach too long, or I don't preach, or I preach too loud, or I don't like that old southern gospel style song. I don't like that. I mean, I get criticized, whatever we do, we don't, it ain't right for somebody. Watch what happened. The Bible said that after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to give him an honorary doctor's degree, verse 23. The Jews took counsel to ask him to speak at the next Passover. They took counsel to kill him. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Be increased. When you're increased, it'll be more opportunity. When you're increased, it'll be more opposition. When you're increased, it'll be more observation. Notice what the Bible says, but their laying away was known of Saul. I'm going to tell you something. You'll be aware of some things you're not aware of when you really get increased. Some of your problem tonight, now look at me right here. I'm almost through. Everybody look right here. Look right here. Look right here. Look. Your problem is, honestly, you honestly think everybody's supposed to like you. You got the TBN religion. I was watching it the other night, you know, for entertainment. And there she sat, man, Jan. Had a poodle dog in her lap while a man was preaching. I'm going to say this. I'd rather have a dog than a cat. Ain't no poodle dogs got no business in church unless they're going to Pensacola to college. Amen. They invited me to preach, ma'am. You better act like you like it. I'll give you a tambourine to play, praise God. Hey! Everybody okay? I thought this was Golden State College we're promoting over here. Sir, be increased and you'll get criticized. There'll be opposition. They'll start opposing you. Well, Brother Treber's all right and everything, but he had his tour group girls in and they were singing Master of the Sea. And Squire Parsons wrote that. I was preaching for an idiot the other day. God help us. He got up there and he said, now this Bill Gaither, and I wouldn't listen. Bill Gaither's a bunch of long-haired hippies, bunch of, I wouldn't have them on my platform. You listen, you couldn't give me enough to have Guy Penrod to open in silent prayer in our church. Everybody okay? Gaither vocal band. But he got up there and he said, these Gaither, I wouldn't have a Gaither song. This, but, and then this choir got up and sang Because He Lives. Hey, don't throw the baby out with the wash, neighbor. Y'all listening? I'm talking about, hey, you ought to be aware not everybody's going to like what we do. Now, if y'all going to leave here from this meeting and take this kind of old-time music with you and take this kind of old-time flavor, if your youth director and pastor did not want you to come, then they ought to look who was on the poster. They brain dead to bring you here and not expect some boys to go back with some fire. There ought to be some boys go back and say, preacher, could I say a word tonight? I just want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. They ought to be jockeying for position. Hey, man. Don't expect everybody to like. Your mama and them may not even like it. But you got to give them room. I mean, they weren't here. They didn't drink the water. But you just offer them a little sip and show them what old-time religion has done for you. And show them what a taste of old-time way has done for you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you ever drank some of our water, you won't want that other stuff. It'll ruin you. It'll mess you up. It'll mess up a generation. That's why a lot of them are scared of letting them get too close to the well. They're scared they may get a little swig. Hey! And be messed up. I'm not telling you what I think right now. I'm telling you what I know pretty good right now. And you know I'm telling right, Brother Moore. They scared of them to get around it. Don't expect everybody like it. You better just be observant enough to be aware. He said, man, he knew they was trying to kill him. This thing of old time religion, hey, it's not loved by everybody. What this place promotes, what this pastor promotes, what you've heard and what's been exercised around this place, look up in here, good neighbor. Not everybody's for it. Not everybody in fundamental circles is for it. Be ready now. They scared of us. They just tolerate me. Your pastor's got guts to ask me to come preach. I mean, God, he probably has to undo a lot after I leave. Praise God. I know he's got to fix the rugs. I kind of feel like Elijah with his mantle on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory! It's real, young people. Oh, God, help us. It's our only hope. You better get you some while you're here. You better get you some. You better get you some. You better get you some while you're here. You better get some while you're here. Pianists are coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What wilt thou have me to do? I want to start with you young boys that's supposed to be called to preach. You really want some of it. Why don't you get down here and get some of it? I want to start with you young boys that's called to preach. You young girls, just stay right where you are. I'm talking to these young boys that's called to preach. God's worked in your heart, you're called to preach. Sell out to the local church. Trade in all your loyalties. Cash in all your loyalties to everything but the church. Anchor in, drop anchor, with the local church, tie in with the local church, throw in. Hey, boys, this is serious business. Be involved. I wonder how many young people in this room say, I don't know all you're talking about that Holy Ghost, but if there's something to it, I want some of it. Would you be honest enough just to raise your hand and say, all that stuff's foreign a little bit to me. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't, because, hey, nobody's judging you. But you say, you're talking about Holy Ghost and worshiping God and praising God and feeling something on the inside. I don't really know all about that, but if there's something to it, I want some of it. Would you slip up your hand and be honest? Be honest. Then right now, get up where you are and come on this altar and say, I want some of it. Come on, sir. As we stand together all over the house, God's dealt with your heart. God's dealt with your heart. Don't quench him and don't grieve him. If God's dealt with your heart, commitment. Brother Marks preached on commitment. Sell out. Sell out.